Hey Debbie, how's it going? 19th is getting close, Debbie.
Getting real close.
Debbie, we're gonna have to figure out. Gonna have to figure out. Because we'll definitely be in the extreme COVID restrictions. Like just lots of room, just let everyone keep spreading out or something.
Hey, well, why don't you guys take care of Bentley?
Dave Barnes, how's it going, man? You and Michelle talking about. Yeah, I guess everyone's watching the game at Andre's. Yeah, I noticed that. I'm positive I'm on my the right page. That's all right. Anyway, you and Michelle talking about church clothes. Wearing church clothes. Sunday's best. Even inside of the church and people that are still like actively participating in the church. I've been in all sorts of denominations that conversation comes up in different ways. And at the end of the day, like Michelle mentioned that she still does it, and because it kind of like you dress up to go to a fancy dinner, you dress up to go to a wedding, you dress up to go to a funeral. Why not dress up, go to church, sort of deal? Yeah, I've done it different ways. Candace, yeah. You're an old, is it Iron Curtain? Iron Curtain, right, for Steelers? Someone's got a letter back in. Sorry, guys, as soon as I hopped on, my dog started freaking out. So I didn't see Holly Byers not on yet. Debbie Saul's in. Find lots of room. Yeah, Debbie, I think. Yeah, lots of room. Steel Curtain. That's right. I said Iron Curtain. Yeah, Steel Curtain. I wanted to tell Holly Byer, mentioned to her about those Azalea lights, Azalea parking lot lights. I think the plan there was, in fact, to keep them on all the time. Like just, I mean, when the sun goes down, boom, they pop on like street lights. But it's too much, it's too much. So I'm gonna give this. I spoke to the city manager about it today, and give her a little bit of time to see what's cracking in the parks department. But they need to bring it up to Parks and Recreation Commission and have Parks and Rec Commission, decide how lights and things are going to be handled in that park, like all around, like ball field too. It's a big enough deal that it needs to have some public process to it, and not just left up to staff, I think. Sal, you ready to play a tune? All right, listen to Silas. Andre, dude, I thought either the Blazers are doing super poorly, or you're still watching Blazers and just had me going on your phone or something.
Okay. So this song is called For a While, by the band Camino, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but I actually found out that the word Camino is Spanish for path. But yeah, this is For a While by band Camino.
Thank you.
so honest. She won't stick around for the store, for the guy that she'll ignore. At least she's honest. It's okay, it's alright, I don't mind wasting time, I'll be fine. How my heart, how I feel, pretend that it's real for a while.
I seem to recall that lights were discussed when I was on Parks and Rec. There were going to be those environmental type lights, but my memory may have faded a bit since then. Yeah. And they're, I know they were just switched out with good lights, new lights that are LED and made to emit less light pollution, you know, and to be, I don't know, pointed or whatever. It just, having them all on, you can imagine, or you could probably guess the reasons why you would want a parking lot to stay lit all the time. And a big deal is when, you know, PD or, yeah, there's no or, just when PD cruises through there, being able to see everything. But it's just it has too big of an effect on those of us that live around there. It needs some more thought put into it, you know. Just cutting down a parking lot. If a parking lot has six lights, you can obviously, you know, time them or program them to just the one comes on down at the end of the parking lot, so an officer could see all the way down there or something. You know, it should be fixed. Lights might still need to be shielded. Yeah, Dave Barnes, you're right. Something else might need to be figured out, you know. I don't think it's ever actually politically correct lights. Even though a lot of things about Azalea Park have been discussed and debated a lot in public, but there's other things like the lights that really haven't been. and, you know, the purchase and installation of lights and the plan for a lit parking lot were talked about and approved, and I'm happy they got approved. But when a project is done and everything is completed and you turn the lights on, you have to, you know, you have to adjust with the reality of what it's doing. So it's solvable. It should be solvable. And Candace and Holly, so I spoke to staff too about having them help me get the different action items for the Monarch Pledge, you know, to find the last ones and to chat with the Monarch people or whatever to get me just the list of the action items so we can get that to you guys, and you guys can look at it and see what you think you can do, see if there's something in there that you think could be done with, you know, just a little bit of help from the city or something. You know, it doesn't need to be, because I know in the past, the first time that I did the pledge, I know Monarch Association was super good about, you know, it not, you didn't want it to cost or to make the city do anything, and you guys wanted to cover it all yourselves, which is cool. But if there is something there that would be cool for the community, but you just can't quite do all on your own, and you need just some help from the city. So, Dave Barnes, you know, it's it's the same thing like I was talking about a couple weeks ago. Like, who wouldn't think it's a great idea? And it was a great idea to plant some small trees downtown, you know, to make the downtown area look good. And of course, kind of like objectively or almost conceptually, the thought of a tree blocking a commercial building or blocking a sign, it's not like that was an absolute, you know, like no one thought of it. But when you actually see it and it comes to fruition, and it's a real business owner saying, you know, dude, this tree is like blocking the sign I just spent 10 grand on, you know, what gives, right? Lauren Farmer, I met a local celebrity today. He was very cool. Yeah, man, it was good. It was good to see you. It was good to, I had seen a picture of you, because it doesn't take much to, make me want to at least go see a Facebook profile and get a picture of you. But to see, you know, to see somebody in person, in the flesh, hear your voice a little bit, it helps. It helps when I'm sitting here talking to a screen with just your name. So it makes it easier on me. That makes you a rarity among elected officials. Yeah, maybe just to say it aloud, to say it publicly and to cop to it, you know. Yeah. So, Candace, you want to talk about COVID? You thought it'd be a good idea for me to talk about COVID. So if, you know, people are keeping track, obviously, we're going to be into that extreme category, right? Which is going to be rough on some, like, restaurants mainly. And I don't see. I get that. Like, I'm not always super super optimistic. You know, I'm not like the craziest half glass half full kind of guy. So I could be wrong, but I don't see a quick turnaround where we're at now with the case numbers we're having. I don't see an about face coming. So I could see us being in that extreme classification for a while, right? As far as restaurants go, and Candace, you brought this up, I think, a couple weeks back about that dine and, was it dine and stay or pay and dine or something, the gift certificate program for area restaurants. That is going to happen again. So Janelle's working with Summer, and I know there was some discussion about a timetable, like they were going to do it. Decided to wait until after the immediate holidays, and then right around right about the first of the year. They're hoping they can get another round of it out, which would be cool. It probably wouldn't. It wouldn't make the difference between like life and death for a life and death for a business, but it would definitely it'd help. Yeah. COVID. So I did have it. I had it confirmed, or at least confirmed to my standard of confirmation, that really none of the local cases are tied to tourism by any real stretch. I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's really just workplace and social gathering and some travel out of the area, not tourism, but people live here, travel, go see family, come back, and COVID cases. The Candace, you mentioned on the comments, you have no way to prove that. Well, I agree, Brandon. As far as it being linked to tourism, yeah, I agree. There's definitely no way to prove it. Definitely no way to prove it. Candace, on the comment, you commented on my post for tonight about who COVID is killing and who's really spreading COVID and the age differences there. I don't want to pin you for this if this wasn't part of your motivation or not motivation, part of your thinking. That doesn't translate into that age group being irresponsibly spreading it to older folks that are acting responsibly and doing what they can to not catch COVID. You follow me? At least from my perspective here and from what I gather. So one, I have a limited circle of friends, circle of people that I actually like interact with and would socialize with. And that circle would be limited, right? I'm also in any given day in, you know, I can be in 8 or 10 different homes in any given workday. And so from my perspective, there really hasn't been much of a rhyme or reason why I find that some people are really concerned about COVID and follow all the protocol and those that don't. It's been young and old that I've seen. I've been surprised to see how many old don't really seem to be too concerned about it at all. Those are I usually, of all the people that don't seem to care too much about COVID, it's usually older folks that I see. Granted, most of us here and most of us that would be hiring me to come out of their home are in fact older folks. So the other thing that's interesting to me that it doesn't seem to jive with so much of the Facebook discussion is that I haven't seen a real close correlation between like political ideologies and how people are reacting to COVID. And I can hear the shouts of BS right now. But again, I mean, just from my personal, what I see day in and day out, not my position as mayor or anything. I haven't seen it. I've seen like the classic, I say the classic, I've seen plenty of, you know, Republican, Trump-toting Republicans buck anything and everything COVID. I have seen that with the entire different side of the spectrum and quite a bit in between. I don't think it's as political as what people say it is, or at least what the Facebook world portrays. Yeah, Dallas. A difference, yeah. Yeah, and I don't inside of people's homes. I really don't see a difference. I haven't, because I've been in and out of so many, and yes, this area predominantly is conservative. I'm not so sure my customer base is predominantly conservative. It's fairly even, actually. And I think you might be mistaken, my friend. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, Candace. I'm sure you would disagree with that. And I'm not saying it's a universal truth. I'm just saying where I go and the people that I talk to, and you just take it for whatever that's worth to you. But as a young guy in the community, working in the community, and the people I come into contact with and the homes I go into, I don't see a stark difference between Republican and Democrat as far as how it's affecting how they're living with COVID. So I don't know. Yeah, Brandon, thanks. Yeah. And naturally that is, I acknowledge that, and that's why through my limited scope, that's what I see as far as my day-to-day interactions with people that aren't necessarily in my social circle. So inside of my social circle, which involves or which includes a lot of the church, I have been. It's disheartening to see. It's disheartening to see what I perceive to be a misinterpretation of standing against persecution in what is just common sense and good health practices. So inside of the church, I know this isn't unique just from my experience, because I've been truly a part of many different denominations inside of the Christian realm. But inside of the church, we're taught and acknowledge standing on principles and beliefs that one day will be persecuted. We look past, in Scripture, look at the past, what's happened to believers in the history of the world, and the true, legitimate, crazy persecution that they have gone through. And I'm not implying that Christians are the only ones to go through that persecution. But anyway, so we read those stories in the church, taught about the martyrs, taught stories of believers standing strong and not denouncing their faith and being burned at the stake or whatever. And we try to relate that to ourselves inside of the church, and we try to relate some form of persecution that we're getting for our faith, and we try to relate that back to the godly martyrs and the stories of that. And so I think it's a quick, it was a quick jump for a lot of us in the church to make, to buck the COVID protocols, because we're viewing it as a religious persecution, and being commended for that, for doing that by our Christian elders. Will Durant. I don't know who that is, Brandon. I just think I go back to the fact that I know it's not a lack of education. I know it's not lacking anything. It just comes to a point of decision making for all of us, for every one of us individually. And we could literally choose to stop the spread of COVID. It's not, there's not some outside source pouring it into the community. It's all us. Candace, really? That's not something I was aware of. I wonder if you're talking about inside the church thing. Can't forget about the Christian Crusades. Oh yeah, Lauren. I mean, you know, there's not too many people groups or too many sectors of society that don't have something at one time that they can point to and show that a group of people that they related to was viciously persecuted. So, Candace, if you were talking about the church thing, that is true. We can stop it, just write it out. Dave Barnes. Yeah. Macro, like looking macro, Dave Barnes, I agree with you. I really do. The thing locally, though, is that we're small, and the COVID numbers and COVID cases and how people got it, they're like, you know, it's small. We can put our finger on it. It's something you can grasp. We don't need to fight the it's fixable, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's fixable. We can find out what it is that's bringing the COVID cases, and we can choose not to do that. So right now it's like workplace and social gatherings, and I see it every day, people choosing to do that safely and people choosing to not do it safely. As I don't know, man, I start to get kind of tuned up when I'm talking about that. The church thing, you know, the church thing stings, right? Because it's my own. And so like whoever you are and your group and you getting the inside look of your group and people you connect with. And typically, you know, we judge those folks that we know harsher, and we hold them to a higher standard. And it's obviously like it's awkward to chat about a little bit, right? Because it is a small area, and there is one congregation that I go to and visit right now. And so obviously anything, you know, it's awkward, but sitting and pondering these things inside of the church, looking around and thinking about what's taking place and what everyone's thinking and what they're thinking about COVID and how they're reacting to the risk of COVID. That persecution thing, that resounds in a lot of the heads of believers. I know it does. Exponential growth study since the end of September. Yeah. Yeah. I think even though macro, you know, Dave Barnes, it's going to run its course, and the best we hope for is to ride it out and survive through it. But locally, and how many cases we will have locally, we're a small enough area. We could actually control that. We could choose to control that. Some church folks in our First Amendment sanctuary to reclaim their right to religious freedom. Yeah. Yeah. I know. release the lions and let them sort them out. Oh, yeah. Oh, that sounds like a dude that's been to a couple Sunday school classes. Before I forget, I'll have Silas play his other tune. Before I forget, someone flagged... did like a content flag on my video, you know, comments. It's the first time it ever happened. And when I go to view the comment alert, it trips out and doesn't show me what it is. I would imagine that it is, the profanities used on one of my last videos there by Bill. So I'll go back and delete those. I didn't really want to delete them until Sorry, Andre, was it you? Yeah. I really didn't want to delete him until Bill was feeling better, but I'll go back and delete him and get him off there. All right, guys. Silas, you want to play another tune?
Yeah.
That first one he played was cool. That was a pretty cool tune. All right.
Okay, so this next one is going to be a rerun of Rock, Salt, and Nails by Tyler Childers.
Man, I think that's my favorite guitar you got, Silas. Oh, well, I'm glad you got on, Debbie. Yeah, that was a good song. Good song, cool guitar, cool kid. Little Silas. We are Dallas. Oh, Bill, talking about Bill, you guys. Yeah. Yeah, old Bill. You know, it wouldn't surprise me though, as if old Bill's just cracking up sitting up there, you know, and you would say, well, why? Why would he do something like that, you know? Because they will sometimes. All right, guys, so I'm gonna see you Tuesday after Monday night. Yeah, so Monday night's council meeting. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. I've been trying to think about, you know, just trying to think how to keep the inevitable knocking of heads happening, you know, and seeing it, like, I can see it from the view of counselors, and seeing it from the view of the public, and how each responds meeting in front of microphones and everything, and just and what the action and reaction there is, and it, you know, what could come of that. Lots of emails going to counselors. Good, Candace. Good. Hopefully, you know, it's something. You've got to, in order to really get to people, and this is true for anybody, right? Not just politicians. In order to really get to them, there needs to be something personal, a personal hookup, and you need to reach them on a personal level, and that's how, you know, that's how opinion is really heard, you know, really listened to and actually heard. Grace and compassion needed at the council meeting. Yeah, Holly. I'll do my best, you know. I'll do my best. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's just I'm hoping for a bigger conversation about so many codes and so much regulation that the city has built over time based on things over time and based on things of time past, you know, and when that wake up call comes, the sooner is, I'm thinking, would be better. I see only more people needing to sleep in cars overnight, right? I mean, on the horizon, this is only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. So, what's in it for me, sort of thinking. Yeah. The sort of thinking that I am afraid to see at council meetings is one of the most a real damaging thing that I found is very assumptive thinking, you know, arguments and strategies and talking points and debate all coming from assumptions made, and it's both ways, right? It's both ways, and instead of actually like meeting as people, you wind up two different groups of people are jousting back and forth instead of just people. So, okay, so I'll see you guys Tuesday. Some of you, I'm thinking, I'll probably see you on Monday, and then I'll see you at least Tuesday. Tuesday we can chat about the council meeting. I'm sure there'll be plenty to chat about after that. All right, guys, have a good night.